I have had a very different day. Every time I kept asking, what do you want for tonight? There was no response. But about 2 minutes after I walked away from the communion table, I heard, you need to declare. So we're first, before we go into the message, we're going to declare. Isaiah 41 is what came, and it starts in verse 8. But you, O Israel, my servant, that's the spirit person. Jacob is the man of flesh, so it might help you to keep that in mind with this word. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant, I have chosen you, and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid. O worm Jacob. Do you hear the word, O worm Jacob? What does a worm look like? How does a worm maneuver?
By stretching its own muscles.
It's like a snake.
By manipulating the earth.
Thank you. O little Israel, for I myself will help you. I just want you to keep that in mind. Declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp, with many teeth, and you will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them. The wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and the needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongue is parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valley. I will turn the desert into pools of water and parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedars and the acacia and the myrtle and the olive. I will set pines in the wasteland and fir in the cypress together, so that the people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. Present your case. Present your case, verse 21. Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your argument, says Jacob's king. Present your case. You know, there were times that I presented my case and it was all carnal. There were other times where I presented my case and it was a mixture. There were other times when I would not look at the previous scriptures showing me that God had been on the job in my life for a lot of different things in a lot of different ways. But many, many years ago, around the holiday season, the Lord gave me Psalm 104. And I want you to go to Psalm 104. Because at that time, I was presenting my case. I knew about all these other verses that I gave you in Isaiah 41, but my case was all about a lot of things that needed to change in my life. And I didn't know how to change any of them. All I wanted to do was to figure out what God was doing so that I could try to follow, and I wasn't doing very well. So, at the holiday season, I got Psalm 104. And I didn't understand that there was one verse that stuck out at me. And it was verse 26. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan which you formed to frolic there. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. And it didn't make any sense to me. So, I laid it before the Lord. How many of you like answers yesterday? Okay? All right. Well, that was like, I know it was Christmas time. And I was at Grace Church, and my office is downstairs at that time, so it's many years back. Probably the middle 80s. Late 80s, whatever. So, I have this lady that I've known for a number of years, had made an appointment, and we're now in June or July, it's summertime. She sits down in my office and she says to me, by the way, Kim, before I came today, I got a word for you. And I'm all excited. Good news. Do you ever get new news that you don't like? So she says, I got Psalm 74. So I wrote it down and said, thank you. I read the psalm after she left because we talked about all kinds of other things. And then I got to the verse that I believe she was getting at, because as I read verse 14, it was you who crushed the heads of Leviathan and gave him as food to the creatures of the desert. And I thought, why is this important? Well, it didn't make a great deal of sense. So several days later, I get a word from the Lord to go back to the book of Job. Well, if you're like me, Job is not my favorite book, because it really is all about all his problems and his complaining and etc., etc., etc. But then I went to Job 41 and I read the very first verse, and it says, can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down his tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he keep begging you for mercy? Will he speak to you with gentle words? Will he make an agreement with you for you to take him as your slave for life? Can you make a pet of him like a bird, or put him on a leash for your girls? Will traders barter for him? Will they divide him up among the merchants? Can you fill his hide with harpoons, or his head with fishing spears? If you lay a hand on him, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. And I said, ouch. Any hope of subduing him is false. The mere might or the mere sight of him is overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse him. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. I will not fail to speak of his limbs, his strength, and his graceful form. Who can strip off his outer coat? Who would approach him with a bridle? Who dare open the door of his mouth? Ringed about with fearsome teeth. His back has rows of shields tightly sealed together. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. His snorting throws out flashes of light. His eyes are like the rays of dawn. Firebrands stream from his mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from his nostrils, as from a boiling pot over a fire of reeds. His breath sets coals ablaze, and flames dart with his mouth. Strength resides in his neck. Keep that in mind. Dismay goes before him. The folds of his flesh are tightly joined. They are firm and immovable. His chest is hard as rock, hard as a lower millstone. When he rises up, the mighty are terrified. They retreat before his thrashing. The sword that reaches him has no effect, nor does the spears or the darts of the javelin. Iron he treats like straw, and bronze like rotten wood. Arrows do not make him flee. Sling stones are like chaff to him. A club seems to him but a piece of straw. He laughs at the rattling of the lance. His undersides are jagged and potsherds, leaving a trail in the mud, like the threshing sledge. He makes the depths churn like a boiling cauldron and stirs up the sea like a pot of ointment. Behind him he leaves a glistening wake. One would think the deep had white hair. Nothing on earth is his equal, a creature without fear. He looks down on all that are haughty. He is king over all that are proud. When I hit that, I said, oh my God. I'm fighting something that is not natural, that is beyond my understanding, and I'm trusting in my own abilities and in my own mind, because it had been months that I've been crying out for God to open me up so that I could get to see the source of the irritation that was bringing division. It was bringing division between my wife and I. It was bringing and had brought division between my family and I. And I wasn't happy about it. It had brought division in my family. It had brought division in the people that I loved. But I didn't understand it as king of pride. All I understood it as, I was the problem because the accuser was on my case. And when the accuser's on your case, you're going to look at yourself. And since I was a product of the religious realm, I was full of guilt anyway, so it wasn't very hard for the enemy to start accusing. And I agreed with him. And when we agree with the enemy, you are just the witness of that. And you talked about this on Sunday, because Sunday when I got home, that was the scripture that he brought me back to. And I said, oh, Leviathan's on the job. So I started doing some hunting and some scripture hunting, etc., etc. And that worm Jacob, that soulish man, is full of little twists and turns and finds all kinds of excuses. And when the God of heaven calls his people stiff-necked, it's in there. The Jews are stiff-necked. I got news for him. The Frenchmen are stiff-necks, and the Irish, and whatever brand you got, we're all stiff-necked. And when we're stiff-necked, we are a byproduct of that king. So I said, Lord, what do you do? He says, you're going to declare that just like you do any other principality. The Lord rebuke you. And I thought, oh my God, we're on for a ride. We're on a journey to get free from the king of pride. He squirms, he twists words, and it can be male or female. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just telling you what that spirit is capable of doing. And it'll twist you enough to make you accuse yourself when you're not guilty, because Jesus says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you can wake up tonight and think about all these verses that I've given you, including where Israel was so stiff-necked and is still stiff-necked, she is still in the hands of that spirit and defiant against her God. But is our God pouring out his blood and sprinkling it? Yes. The guillotines are ready. I think it's got a lot of different meanings for a lot of different reasons. All right? But the end result is this king is coming to his end. He's being exposed, because I said, Lord, you really want me to talk about this? Because I mean, I knew Sunday night. And I said, oh, I really don't want to go there, Lord. This is not a subject I want to teach on. He says, are you going to obey me or are you going to obey your feelings? Because this message is offensive. Okay? It's offensive because it uses every single one of us. Did you ever see your built-in mechanism to fight back? Or answer back? Or your mouth takes off on you? And when your mouth took off, guess who's running it? The king of pride. Defending your position. The undertow. Did you notice his undertow is full of all kinds of stuff? It leaves a track in the mud. What mud? This mud. Yeah, it's this mud he's leaving a track. He's destroying your body. God, it got quiet in here. Now close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I hear the words.
I hear the words.
They may not record completely right now. But they're coming in as seed. And they're going to grow. And I'm going to say it in faith. Leviathan, the Lord rebuke you. I want you to put your stuff down and I want you to stand. Say, Leviathan, you will not rule. You will not twist and turn. Without me being aware. Because the Holy Spirit's on the job. He is faithful to identify. The source of the problem. And the source of the problem is pride. And I command that thing to be exposed. And then to stand with the blood of the Most High God. That dripped that blood from the cross to set me free. From pride. From sin. And from death. And I thank you. That I can stand my ground. With the grace of my Father. And the favor of my Father. To become everything he's called me to be. In Jesus' name. I pray. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Jesus.
Glory to you, Jesus.
That's it.